that I believe is on time, and I'm going to start reading in Genesis chapter 41, verses 25 through 36. Genesis 41, verses 25 through 36, in the New Living Translation. And let's see if I can find that real quick. There it is. I'm going to set the stage. Joseph was in the prison in Egypt. He was an interpreter of dreams. He became the most powerful man in the world. And he moved in the spirit of excellence. And what that means in New Testament language, whatever you do, do it the best you can. And do it in the name of Jesus. Be that type of a person. If you do, you will ride on the heights of the land. You know, there's a lot of promises in God's word, and there are stipulations to the promises. You have to be an active, participating child of God, basically. It goes far beyond church attendance, but as we can see in this church and many, many others, there's a great falling away right now that Jesus Christ predicted, where people just, they've got other things to do. And that could be very unfortunate. But Pharaoh had some dreams that troubled him. And he was told, you've got a man in your prison that can interpret those dreams. And that's what Joseph, thank you, sweetheart, did. He interpreted Pharaoh's dreams in such a way, it moved Pharaoh so much. He made him his chief right under him. But the thing was, according to the scripture, Pharaoh would not do anything without Joseph's approval, input, or suggestion. Wouldn't do anything. Everywhere he went, they had to bow down to him. If they didn't, they and their family would be eliminated. They would be executed. He was a man of great power and authority. He was a man of great love and understanding. His brothers hated him. They were jealous against him. And they all did his vision. They bowed down before him. And he saved all of them and all of Egypt. But I'm going to take you to a part where Joseph is interpreting to Pharaoh two of his dreams. Verse 25, Joseph responded, both of Pharaoh's dreams mean the same thing. God is telling Pharaoh in advance what he is about to do. The seven healthy cows and seven healthy heads of grain both represent 7 years of prosperity. The seven thin, scrawny cows that came up later and the seven thin heads of grain withered by the east wind represent 7 years of famine. This will happen just as I have described it, for God has revealed to Pharaoh in advance that what he is about to do. The next 7 years will be a period of great prosperity throughout the land of Egypt. But afterward, there will be 7 years of famine so great that all the prosperity will be forgotten in Egypt. Famine will destroy the land. This famine will be so severe that even the memory of the good years will be erased. I could read further. I entitled this short thought, A Time to Prepare. And I'm speaking prophetically, I believe. This is a time for you and I, my brother and sister and visitor, to prepare for what's about to happen in America. Now, there's been many times when we've had to prepare, things have happened. I believe that this event that is starting to happen is of biblical, worldwide advance. It's happening all over the world. And in particular, there's something that's happening all over the world. Food is becoming more expensive. Have you noticed? Fuel is becoming more expensive. In America, we are faring much better than other nations around us. The Ukraine, they have lost their growing season during to Vladimir Putin's desire to kill children and women and wipe them off the face of the earth and cut off all of their areas of supply. We are being threatened every day in the United States of America for helping them at all. And I say that only a coward would back down and not take care of his allies. And there are some things in life that are important and they're worth putting your life on the line for. I believe that this is a time to prepare because I believe that in the days ahead, it's already started, food in particular, fuel in particular, and really in particular, believe it or not, fertilizer. In Logan County, I've heard it on the local news, and worldwide, there is a worldwide shortage of fertilizer. And what does that mean to you? Well, just like I listened to an interview of a farmer just up by Fayetteville, and he said, well, I'm going to fertilize X amount of acres less for my cows to make hay and pasture for them because I can't afford it because it's gone sky high. What does this all mean to you? As you already know, how many of you know this, your fuel is just to fill up your car. How many of you in this room, instead of filling it up, you've got $20 and you just put $20 in now? Yep, there we go. Yeah. This is an extreme. There are biblical writers from the 1900s that believed that America was on some kind of a special plateau and we would not suffer end-time events. And don't believe that. There is no nation that will not suffer end-time events, and we are. I believe these are end-time events, which makes them different than some of the other things that some of us have been through. When prices of things have spiked, shortages have come, this is different. This is leading up to the rapture of the church. And this is not a time to shrink back from the Lord, but the word predicts that at this time there would be a great falling away. I can see it. People have other things that they want to do instead of attend church, instead of being servants, instead of working on forgiving somebody, and many, many other things. See, we're supposed to be working out our salvation in fear and trembling. Because if you miss the rapture, and you're not going in the rapture because you're sitting in a seat tonight, you're going in the rapture because you're working out your salvation, which makes you a child of God. Only children of God will be in the rapture. Nobody else. You have to understand that. So all this rigmarole and things and people having excuses for living their life taking three steps backward, it's the wrong time to play games with your salvation. Because sometime soon, as Phineas Dake, who wrote the Dake's Bible, said, there is not one Bible verse that is holding back the rapture of the church. It's soon to come. Jesus said this about this time. When you see these things begin to happen, look up, because your redemption draws near. Look up. And everybody that's taking a backsliding, slimy break from God, this is a wake-up call. And if you know somebody that should hear this, you tell them Brother Angelo said it. And if they want, come and see me. I have another version, even longer. I've only got a few minutes tonight. But we don't have to miss the rapture. We don't have to be hypocrites. We can live like children of God. For God's sake, who is on the Lord's side in this church tonight? And more important, where's the 100 people that are here every Sunday morning? Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 11. I'm going to show you another prophet named Agabus. Acts chapter 11, starting with verse 28. And I'm going somewhere with this, and it's not a butt-chewing. I'm trying to shake you. I'm trying to get you to see. My God, what if you wake up and your Christian neighbor across the street has disappeared and you're still here? Do you know what that means? Can people be saved during the seven-year tribulation period? Yes, they can. It'll probably cost you your life. But yes, you can. This is not the time of God's wrath on this planet. When that comes, part of the tribulation period is one-third of the light of day, one-third of the light of night will be gone. What does that do to our planting season? Does anybody understand the implications here? That's why the word says in the book of Revelation that a loaf of bread will cost a day's wages. We have to think about these things. Yeah, God blesses us. I've been in the Bless Me Club since 1971. I believe in the blessings of God. I've walked in them. And I have, in the next few minutes, I have an objective, a goal for you, a place that you should be thinking about going that's going to help you. How many of you believe that this might be the beginning of the end right now? In the last 3 or 4 years, this might be. You know, for the people over there in the Ukraine, just ordinary people praying, it is the end of the world for them. Vladimir Putin is a coward, and he's a demonic Hitler-type crazy man. They've had him since the beginning of time, and they'll have their place in the lake of fire, no doubt about it, to kill innocent children, to do what Adolf Hitler did, to do what Stalin did, and all of the rest of them, what Nebuchadnezzar did, and many, many others. But in the book of Acts chapter 11, I'm going to read from first, starting at verse 27, and we're going to mention the prophet Agabus. During this time, some prophets traveled from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up in one of the meetings and predicted by the Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. And Rome ruled the world at this time. All of the known world, they ruled, and they ruled with an iron, cruel, Hitler-like fist. This was fulfilled during the reign of Claudius, so the believers in Antioch decided to send relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea, everyone giving as much as they could. This they did, entrusting their gifts to Barnabas and Saul to take to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. It was the same situation. This is a time to prepare. You haven't seen the worst of this. America will go through this better than some nations, but we will be hurt by this. You know, is there anything that could keep us from being invaded and ruled over by China or Russia? Not biblically. The Bible speaks in the book of Revelation of one enemy in Gog and Magog, that's Russia and China, that has 200 million soldiers. If you can fathom that, 200 million soldiers. The country that's big enough to do that is China. They're not our friends. They are our supreme enemies. I can remember when President Trump was in and he wasn't playing along with them. He said, we hope America drowns in COVID. This is your enemies. They have nuclear capabilities. None has greater nuclear capabilities than Russia. And that madman, don't think he wouldn't use them. If I had anything to do with anything, I would be bombing every route coming from Russia to Ukraine. I would be bombing every one of them. You know what? It's high time we stand up for what's right and try to step away from what's wrong. Is there any amens in this room? Yes. It's high time for that. It's high time that we hear the truth. Speaking the truth, Ephesians chapter 4, in love so that you might grow. If we keep petting you and telling you how wonderful you are, we're not doing you a good service. You people that are backsliding, that are playing games with God, you could end up in hell sooner than you realize it. Every morning, people get up all over this world, and they leave home. They think, I'll be back in a few hours, and they die before they get home. The 18-year-old boy right down the road from us with your same last name got out on his motorcycle, hit a cow, and was killed. It's all, the score is, it's in for him. The score isn't in for you yet. Which way is it going to go? Which way is it going to go for you? Which way is it going to go for me? I think that this is a time to prepare. Let me take you to one more place. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. In the, I'm reading in the New Living Translation. And I just want to show you a New Testament understanding of something. 10 and 24 says this, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Everybody that came and sacrificed today, and they gave them themselves for these people out here, you're going to see that line get bigger and bigger and bigger. If I heard right this morning, Millie, did Kelly tell us they gave away more food than ever? Look here. Terrible times are coming. You have to decide every day, what side of this are you going to be on? And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. This writing was around 2,000 years ago. I would say his coming is sooner today than it was 2,000 years ago. How about you? We will not all die, but we will all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, and will be caught up in the air with the Lord. That's the rapture of the church. That's what, if we're going to live, that's what we want to be a part of. We want to be part of the rapture of the church. And there'll be Baptists, Catholics, and many other, anybody that's a child of God. One thing I want you to remember as I'm up here, don't think we're the only church in town. Don't think this is the only game going. There are people that love Jesus in all of these churches. Some of them love Jesus more than their leaders do. Okay? We have a mandate from heaven to make you disciples. And we try to do it in the most palatable, nice way. But you know what? some people are rolling dice. I gave that up when I got saved. I wouldn't be rolling any dice right now. I wouldn't be taking these little breaks and these little silly reasons why you can't even make a church service, why you can't help, why you can't give the gift. Everybody that's in this room under the sound of my voice, everybody that's hearing by social media, you have gifts and callings on your life that God put on your life that are very important that you should let God develop, and that more than anything else, you should give them to God to do with what he wants to do. Don't become a singer so that you can sing some smutty song on pop music channel. Something that talks about having sex with somebody that's not your wife or husband, and all the other slimy things that people talk about that people glorify. Let's not be found glorifying smut. Let's look at God. Let's be who we claim to be. You know, I believe this. Many, many years ago, before I was married, I was a Christian. And I dated a girl, and I'm just going to leave this very, and she said, and after about an hour of being with me, she said, "I thought you were a Christian." I never forgot that person. I never forgot what they said to me. You know what? Let us find ourselves. Let's stop confusing people. Let's start living what we know. Amen? Now, I want to help you. I believe that troubling times are coming to America. I care about what's happening in the Ukraine, but not as much as I care about what's happening in Logan County. And I want to give you a few things that I think will help you. This is a time, the Word says, this is a time, and everybody that's not here that comes to this church and that are going to be coming to this church, they need to hear this, that we should be meeting all the more. We should be finding, we should be making our calling and election sure. We should be doing everything we can. As I look at these growing lines in Scranton and in Paris of people that are hungry, and then you think about the ministry of Jesus and the ministry spoken of in this Word. Oh, you know what? One of the themes of it is it's based over and around food. When Joseph's brothers came to Egypt to purchase grain, it was about food. There was a food shortage. Now, there are shortages coming. Some of the experts say this: we will fare much better than some of these other countries, but it's going to cost us. And I'm going to tell you how I live. I'm going to give you some suggestions, and you just take them and listen to them. One of the most personable things that you can do, if you're a Christian, and I see people here that come, and it's the same people they serve. Some people are working. I understand. There's situations that happen, but they're servers. You're saved to serve. Get that through your skull. You're saved, one of the things is, to serve. You're saved to turn away from sin. You're saved to deal with the things that tempt you. This young man blessed my whole Sunday. Millie and I were up here. What's your name again? Carson. Did you say Carson? Like my grandson. He came up and he had a little problem and he was very honest about it. I'll just come up and we'll just pray. But I take note when something happens in the spirit. This young fella was getting a hold of God and he meant what he said. What do our teens and children see when they're not in this church? When they're at home, parents, We want them to see the right thing all the time. The first thing you can do is say to the Lord, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after your will. While I am waiting, yielded. See, are you yielded? Yielded and still. Does God, is there something God's dealing with you about to stop or to do? This is what communion is all about. Let a man examine himself, then eat the bread, then drink the cup. See? Because if you don't, people have died taking communion in a lackadaisical, so we don't want to talk about these things. They don't win crowds. I'm not trying to win crowds. I'm trying to win disciples that will be with me in heaven. Who's going with me to heaven? That's what I want to know. You're saved to serve. If you don't know what your gift is, you ask Pastor Kelly. She will find one for you. She will help you. There isn't anybody in this church that can't serve. There isn't any reason. We love all of you. I'm 70 and I'm still doing this. Not because I have to, because I still believe that there's another disciple out there. There's somebody else that's going to get saved. Now, learn to forgive. The great faith verse. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, so that your Father in heaven can forgive you. Because if you won't forgive, he won't forgive you. The words goes on to say, the unforgiven are not heard for their petition. The only thing God wants to hear from the unforgiven is, Lord, save me. I'm in trouble and I know it. Every day you deal with people that are in trouble and they don't know it. God's looking for you to figure out a way to let them know that they need Jesus. Be a witness. Serve. Live holy. Etc., etc., etc. I'm going to tell you something financially. Now, I'm not going to tell you. I haven't told you anything I'm not trying to do. And I'm not perfect. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. And I got news for every one of you. He's trying to work on every one of you too. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yes. Let's just be real. Let's just keep it real. Let's keep it on that level where it's real. Amen? You know what? I don't want God to say, why didn't you have the cojones to tell those people the truth? Why didn't you just tell them the truth, Brother Angelo? Now, if you're looking for us to be politically correct, I'm so sorry for you. This ain't the place. I'm trying to get through to you. I'm trying to get you to hear me. Because I believe in what I'm saying. I'm trying to work that salvation out. We do have a Bible study every morning. We do commit ourselves and present ourselves to God every morning. We tell him he has the right to take us or leave us, to mold us, to direct us, to correct us, and everything. And we go right through the list. I want every devil in Logan County to know God has a right to do whatever he wants to me. And I want everybody in this room to know God has a right to do whatever he wants to do with you. Just make sure, Jesus Christ, don't leave earth without him. Amen? I want to tell you something important that you can do that we better be thinking about. We are seeing the price of grains going up fast. Pinto beans, rice. If I were you, these things keep easy. I would get some of those things. I would try to get a few of them ahead. I'm going to tell you another thing. This is not the time to buy something that you don't need if you're really going to have to stretch yourself to buy it. It's not that time. In June of 1986, Millie and I, Kelly and Casey, we purchased a home. In May of 1987, in April of 1987, 30 days before we started Paris Christian Center, we paid that home off. We are not in debt now. Everything, we don't owe anybody anything except our next DirecTV bill. And if I was in deep trouble, might not be able to afford that. Me and Millie both receive a little bit of money and we work together. I'm grateful for my wife, and let me tell you something. August the 10th, 2 p.m., San Jose, California time. Millie and I will be married 48 years. It's been the hardest thing that I've had to do. Not her, me. I'm the jerk. But you know what? Bless God, I'm going to tell everybody, every single person in this room, God told me to marry that woman. Hallelujah. If I was you, I'd be real careful who you marry. I'd be real careful because they can destroy your life. If I were you, I would get my monthly responsibilities paid down as best as you can. What I mean is, oh, that's a nice couch. I think I'll get it. It'll only add another $110 to our monthly. Here's the mentality of the world. You get a job, and even people that try to sell you a car or a piece of furniture, they'll say, well, let's see how much payment you can afford to make. I've never looked at life that way. I have never looked at it that way. I've always looked at it this way. How can I pay this off cash? I bought things and started. The last thing I bought was that Silverado out there. They gave me a super high price for my other vehicle, and then I worked that, and it's paid off. And I bought it in 2020. I believe we paid that off in 2021. 2019, I wanted the side-by-side. I've never been satisfied with the junky old ones that most people buy. I always have to have the best. I said, Millie, if you'll let me buy this side-by-side, it has air conditioning, a heater, completely enclosed, everything. If you'll let me buy this, I'll get it paid off. You know what? I got it paid off. Now listen to me. We live in a world where you have to have a little bit of money, don't we, Kielie? We've got to have a little bit. I'm asking you, I'm begging you to pray about that for the next little bit here. Now, if you've got money to buy that couch, you've got the cash, buy it. I mean, but I'm telling you that food and fuel is going to become a bigger problem than it is right now. It's going to become very expensive. I believe, I'm 70, I could see America invaded. I mean, man, let's wake up and smell the roses. Let's think about where we really are and what we really should be doing. We are going to need so many people like you. God is giving us, I don't know how much responsibility, to feed hundreds and hundreds of people. The Manna Center will probably be here in 2022. And we can't begin to run it without you. We've got to have your help. We let people, I just watched Kelly. A woman came in here, I don't know her from the man in the moon. But she just gave her a big, generous portion of food to take home. Kelly's more generous than me. She just wants people not to be hungry. That's the way Jesus was. I've never seen anybody work harder in the ministry as a pastor than my daughter Kelly, and I could not be prouder of her. And she's taking us in a direction I never saw. You can only do what you see. Please don't take this the wrong way. I'm trying to help you. Get your finances and keep them in order. You don't want to buy a car and have to lose it and mess your credit up. And if all you can afford is a car that's 2 or 3 years old, then don't buy a brand new one. I thought I might want to trade cars. I've traded them a lot. I don't know how many vehicles I've owned in my lifetime. Very many. I'm not going to do it. The one I've got's paid for. It's a four-wheel drive. It gets 22.6 miles to the gallon. And for a full-size four-wheel, I'm just holding on to it. It's got, I forgot how many miles, about pretty close to 30,000. We use it to our delivery route. Millie and I have. We deliver to the wide open spaces here, there, and everywhere. We love it. And I'm so proud, and we are so proud of you that help in this ministry and catch this vision. And we need more people like you. We need more people that say Wednesday night is our night to take communion and to feed on the Word of God. We need people that will show up on Wednesday. And people, we realize, people are getting older. Now, I'm not talking about me, but there are people even younger than me that feel like they're too old to do this. And the Bible says when you can see clearer that bad times are ahead, you ought to be opening up another service, another praise and worship, something. And we're going to be calling on you, every one of you. We need you to help us in the Manna Center. I believe as evil corrupts and increases, this church, and it's, I'm not talking about these walls, I'm talking about you that are hearing me. We're going to have, and that new Manna Center, we're going to feed people. One thing I noticed about that little lady that came in, she looked hungry. Millie, some of these people, Sherry, that are coming through that line, they're hungry. Now, sometimes one message can make a difference in somebody's life. The most important thing is that I'm going to keep my word. We're not staying here all night long. But I am going to read a list of things here real quick to you. We have mangoes, cake mixes, nectarines, avocados, mushrooms, watermelons, pineapples. We got one of the best loads of stuff. And we want you to take it home and use it as much as you can. Amen? We love you. And it's time for us to do what the Word of God says, to examine ourselves and take communion. Take it in a worthy manner. Nobody's perfect, but if there's something God's working on, make an altar or come to the altar. If God's working on you for something, tell the Lord, amen, and I'm going to work on it, Lord. I give you the right to mold me. And let's do that right now.